Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. Tickets to see the Dolphins Patriots coming up at 9:30. We'll be joined in just a moment, hopefully, by Danny Ainge. Wayne, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, so, Rich, I understand what you're talking about. I did stand-up for years and never got a real laugh out of my dad. I'd get a giggle, a polite chuckle, but never a real hard laugh.
Yeah, you're talking to me, actually.
Yeah, Fred's the one who's going to be doing it for his father.
Yeah, and I don't know if... I don't talk to my father a great deal, but not for any other reason, but that I hear his disappointment when he answers the phone and it's me. But, I mean, really, it's like, hello? And I'm like, hey. And he's like, oh, hey. And I'm like, and he's like, oh. He's like, your mother's here. So I'm not positive he's laughed at more than three things I've said in 43 years. I'm not positive about that.
And I'm 46, so I got 3 years on you. But I used to do the same thing on the phone. I'd call him, and 5 minutes into the conversation, I go, is everything okay? And he'd go, yeah, why you asking?
Yeah. He. When I call, he immediately wants off the phone. There's no question about it. Because he'll go, oh, your mother's here. They give my mom.
That means I'm handing it over and I'm done.
Yeah. So I immediately have to, when he answers the phone, because you know, because my mother, when I call her cell phone, it's like when she does answer it, what will happen? She won't answer it. And then she'll call me and she'll sound like she just ran a marathon because she's running around trying to find her phone. And so sometimes I'll call if I have to say something to her, and my dad will answer. And so I frantically have to start thinking about things to say about the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Cardinals. You know, hey, look at the Cardinals. All right. Martinez is pitching out of the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
How about that Bader kid, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And then we have some sort of commonality on that, and that runs out quickly, and then you can tell he wants to get off the phone.
Well, maybe he's got what's his name? Sean Hannity's coming on to say something breaking news.
Don't usually call it night, but maybe he's taped Sean Hannity, and that's what he's doing.
Maybe as my mom used to record the Rush Limbaugh TV show on VHS. And you just set the VHS on that, and which you would just watch during the day, the VHSs of the Rush Limbaugh TV show, which I think was on for maybe a year, and then it was gone. Hmm. As wildly popular as it was, the TV show did not take off. However, for Christmas one year, I did get a Rush Limbaugh tie. It was the ugliest thing I've ever received.
Wait. Who gave you the... How old were you?
I was 16.
Oh. Okay, and who gave you the Rush Limbaugh tie?
That would be my mother.
Okay, so the idea was, as a 16-year-old boy, that you not only wanted a tie...
Yep.
Which is everyone's, every 16-year-old boy's dream.
Sure.
Is to receive a nice tie as a gift.
Yes, when you're 16.
She said, you know what? Here is a guy that appeals, his medium age of audience is 65. I mean, all your friends will be delighted because which one of your friends isn't constantly consuming the Rush Limbaugh show?
It's funny. I know the guy who represents Rush Limbaugh, and I was telling him that story. I'm like, yeah, she got me when I was 16 a tie. It was the ugliest tie I've ever seen. He goes, yeah. His wife like designed the ties, and he just kind of was like, all right, fine, we'll throw them out there. And I said, and he's like, what if I gave you like some Rush Limbaugh swag, you could give back to your mom? Would you love it? I was like, it would be mom Christmas. She would lose her mind. So I got this pack of like really ugly looking Rush Limbaugh stuff that I sent to my mother. Well, I should have held on to it.
Now, were these clothes?
Oh, well, it was like Rush Limbaugh swag. No. It was
okay, because I was going to say, I don't see a lot of ladies wanting to go out flossing with Rush Limbaugh's face right on their shirt.
The Rush Limbaugh tie looked like a Pollock painting vomited on top of a public library bathroom.
Was there any reference to Rush Limbaugh on it?
No.
He just came out with his own fashion.
Yeah,
line.
It was like a weird art. Like, it was like this, you know, like Steve Harvey's got his own, like, it was Rush Limbaugh ties. And I remember when I was, she gave it to me, she's like, here you go. And you know that because he probably plugged it a million times, she had in her head that this was like the ultimate prize. Like, I'm just getting a bar of gold or something. And I opened it, I'm like, hey. She goes, you know what that is? It's it's Rush Limbaugh time. I'm like, it's garbage.
Or it could have been.
I didn't say that to her. I said, this is great. Oh, this is awesome.
I'd say.
I know. I couldn't do that to
my father. My father, in 1989, gave me a vinyl copy of a Weird Al Yankovic album.
What year?
And it was the only, 1989, 1990.
Well past your prime of being 11 and 10 years old, where that's your prime Weird Al Yankovic listening thing.
I was 14 or 15.
Okay, all right.
And I had expressed no interest in Weird Al Yankovic at any time, and it's the only gift he's ever bought me. Like himself.
See, that's amazing. It's only what he's picked out. Okay.
Right. I mean, obviously, he made more money than my mother. So, he paid for things.
Sure. You got gifts from mom and dad. But that was the one thing that he found.
Without mom's influence, he hunted, gathered, and found this. Because when he was on his annual pilgrimage to Kmart on Christmas Eve, the one year he got my mom tennis balls and vacuum cleaner bags.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. It was real awesome when my mother started getting hysterical and throwing fits. And then I gave her that Air Supply album, and she started saying how terrible that was as a gift and ran away crying.
That's amazing. Now, was it Dare to be Stupid or Even Worse? Which Weird Al Yankovic album? Even Worse was the one that looked at the cover of Bad, but the joke was that he was even worse.
It was before that. He's got a colorful shirt on, and he's staring at the camera like, what do you want out of me?
Okay, I think I saw most of them.
Yeah, I don't recall. It's not like I took it out of the wrapping.
It's funny, when I was a kid, I didn't understand one time either. My father gave my mother a plug-in foot massager for her birthday, and he was like, in his mind was like, she works a lot, and she could probably sit down and, take a look. She was so pissed. And as a kid, you just have no idea why mom and dad are fighting.
Well, it's better than going into Kmart on Christmas Eve and picking up whatever junk is laying around. Here's a nice tube of tennis balls. Danny Ainge is the president of basketball operations for the Boston Celtics. He's kind enough to join us. Mr. Danny Ainge, hello, sir.
How we doing, guys?
We are doing well, and I saw pictures from Media Day, and things are it must be nice for you to see those five guys together.
12 guys together. We got a
Don't be like that.
Yeah. Like, you can't just put the five guys. Like, that's not our...
Well, what is Tice going to put his head in?
He's talking about the picture of the starters, the one that's gone viral, and people are like, and retweeting all over the place.
Yeah, not like some jabroni, that kid from Australia.
But that means that, you don't have Marcus Morris and Smart and Rozier and Baines and, Hookus and Tice. Those guys are huge.
Did you say Jiminy?
Shemmy.
I thought he said Jiminy.
Jiminy Crickets, those guys are talented.
Danny, what's the deal with the kid you took in the first round? How is he
Robert
doing?
Williams, the one who overslept a few times.
First of all, Rich, you have to learn their names.
Well, that was me that doesn't know their name. Fred.
Fred, let's go. Okay. All right, so... Robert Williams is, our priority with Robert is just to get his health right. We drafted Rozier a few years back, and he had some tendonitis issues, and our medical staff and training staff has done a great job. And, last year, Rozier played 100 games and didn't miss any games, didn't miss any practices, and had some similar tendonitis issues. And Robert is capable of playing right now, but we're really trying to build the muscle and make sure that his tendonitis is much less. It's already a lot less than when we drafted him, and we're just being cautious with his health right now. But he has been diligent in his workouts, and we're excited about his future.
Was it your insistence that he move directly right next to where the workout facility is?
It was, actually, yes. That was a good idea. I mean, but hey, if I was 20 years old and single, and we had this facility and the medical staff that we have and all the attention the players get, I would move right next to the facility too. It's a great opportunity for him to take advantage of our staff and the facilities and become a great player.
Does that facility kind of piss you off when you think of what you guys had back in the day compared to having your own barber shops and massage there, all the crazy stuff that you guys have at the new place?
Yeah, you guys really played in a dump.
That's when Red decided to turn the heat on.
Yeah, I mean, I told Brad about a month ago, I said, you know, we really should have our first training camp practice at Hellenic College.
Oh.
And just so those guys can see where three banners were one. And Brad said, no, maybe I'll save that for a losing streak or something. It's hard for the players to appreciate it as much because, you know, every year it gets a little bit more. But the kitchen is unbelievable, the food the players get, and the access they have to a huge training staff. You know, they have everything that they could possibly want if they want to take advantage of it and become great.
Well, Danny, one of the things that you noticed almost immediately when at Media Day was the attitude of these guys is one of it's a confidence. They're comfortable with the players that they're with, you know, whereas last year it was kind of like, you know, ingredients and gumbo just all thrown together and who knew what was going to happen. But especially Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving came in, and whereas the last couple of months there had been all this talk about whether or not he was going to end up going to the Knicks after this season was done, and now he can't say enough things to stress that he loves being in Boston and would like to be here for the long haul. Was there a conversation that you had with him, or was there some sort of thing that you or someone else in the organization said to him over this offseason that maybe gave him that positivity as he came into training camp?
No. I talked to Kerry often, just like I talked to all the players, and I've never gotten anything other than what you guys have heard over the last 2 weeks. Back from the first day we traded for him, conversation then, all during last year when he was healthy, playing great. During the time that he was injured, you know, he was so impressed with Coach Stevens, with Terry Rozier, Jalen and Jason, and Al Horford. I mean, I've never heard anything but positivity out of Kyrie. And so I don't know where all the other stuff comes from or pay that much attention to it, really. But him, in my conversations with him, he's loved every minute he's had in Boston, and we hope he still feels the same way at the end of this year.
We talked to Terry Rozier on Media Day, Danny. Have you discussed what happened on draft night with him?
Yeah. We joked about it. I mean, I told him, you got to give me a heads up when you call me on live TV. But I thought it was pretty funny. I'm glad that I didn't say anything that I shouldn't have said for national TV. But yeah, we did discuss it, and he just laughed and apologized, and I think we got that squared away.
And you said, that's going to cost you a few million next year.
I was just going to say.
Don't be afraid to hold that over his head when you're negotiating, and hopefully you can work something out. All right, so Jaylen Brown, there's been a lot of talk about how in the offseason, you know, I mean, we saw that some of the struggles, and Brad Stevens talked about how defensively he thought this team was fine at the end of the season, but offensively, you know, with who was left and who was healthy, there were times where this team struggled to score. And from what I'd been hearing, Jaylen Brown has been concentrating on his jump shot or just to become a better shooter. What do you know about that, and what have you seen from him so far?
Yeah, I mean, Jason, did you say Jason or Jaylen?
Jaylen.
Yeah, Jaylen and Jason, both those guys have put in a lot of work. Jaylen shot the ball really well last year, I thought. Game 7, Jaylen and Terry struggled. But in Game 6, both those guys had 28 and carried us. Mm-hmm. And the other guys struggled. And, you know, I think that's the thing with young players is I always talk about, you know, the consistency. And when you're young and you're good and maybe 3 out of 10 games are really good, and as you mature and you get to the age of Kyrie and Gordon and Al Horford, you know, 7 out of 10 games are really good. So, you know, like those guys are just going to progress. You can see the swagger in them. You can see the work they put in. They feel very good about themselves, and they've earned the respect of all the veteran players. I think last year at this time, nobody was certain what we were going to get out of Jaylen and Jason and Terry because they really hadn't done it. But now they've done it in the highest level against the best competition in the league. And I think that that's just why this team has a much, much stronger belief in itself.
What is your expectation for what Gordon Hayward can do this year?
Well, Gordon looks really good right now. The game's easy for Gordon, and he's a guy a little bit like Horford in some ways. He's our perimeter Al Horford in that he's very versatile. He can do a little bit of everything, and with all the weapons, he's going to make everybody better because he can shoot, he can pass, he can create. He can score on his own. He can create his own shot. And he can create shots for others. So I'm really excited about having Gordon. I think Gordon is going to take a little bit of time just because the guy missed an entire year to become what he will be. I think he'll be better in November than he was in October and better in December than he was in November. And I think that I'm really excited about what he looks like right now. And I mean, he's worked really hard this offseason. It's been very impressive.
Is your team the best team in the Eastern Conference? And how many teams do you think are better than yours in the NBA?
So that, I don't know the answer to that. I mean, that's why we play. But I feel like, we can go out and win any game against any team on any court. But it's all about the consistency, and on paper doesn't really mean much. How it works on the court, how the players, the attitude that they develop, the confidence they develop in each other. That's why I don't ever put expectations on the players. I try to help manage realistic expectations, but I want them to, and along with Coach Stevens, to determine how good they can be. And last year, if I would have said, what my expectations were after we lost Gordon and Kyrie, they probably wouldn't have been as high as what they ended up being. So I don't ever want to put a ceiling on what these guys can do.
Where do you stand on the preseason cockiness? Because, Jaylen Brown was talking about how, it's hopefully it's them versus the Warriors. And, there's part of you that's like, okay, well, I like that mission statement. Like, we're going to make it to the finals. But is there something to be said about not putting that out into the universe before you've even played a game with this five together?
Yeah, I mean, you better be able to back it up because, you're a target. The expectations are number one in the East from a lot of people. And I think that, our team hasn't been through that, where they're one of the elite teams in the league when the season starts. And those expectations are more difficult, and you have to be ready to back that up because we're going to see the best that everybody has to offer. And I'm okay with that talk, but you better be prepared for it. And that's showing confidence in your teammates. And I sense that confidence here, and I sense that swagger amongst our players. But we'll see. I mean, we didn't have to play Toronto and Washington last year in the playoffs. Those were two teams that have given us problems. And two teams that we have a great deal of respect for. And, Milwaukee gave us all we could handle in round one. So the East is not often talked about, but we better respect our opponents.
Now, with Kawhi Leonard this summer, there was a lot of talk about some sort of packages that the Celtics theoretically could put together to get him. When that happens and you've got players who are being mentioned in the media and being thrown out there as someone that's rumored to be in the trade, do you constantly have these players and their representatives calling you and saying, what are you doing? What's going on? Where am I at? Where do I stand? Is that something that during when things that, might not even be real, really happening or progressing, but their names are out there in the media, do you constantly get bugged by the players and their agents?
Yeah, I have those conversations. Sometimes I start the conversations when I read the rumors, and sometimes the agents call me, and I'm open and honest if they're involved in the conversation or not. And I believe the players want to know and want to know where they stand, and sometimes hard conversations are better to have. Truthful conversations are not easy, but they're the best way to go about it. But yeah, have those honest conversations with the agents and players throughout the summer and throughout the season.
By the way, Jason Tatum's jacked now. Have you seen what he's done in the offseason? The guy's had like 10 pounds of muscle.
Who's that?
Jason Tatum.
he's not jacked.
Yeah, he is.
I agree, Danny.
I mean, listen, yeah. Fred's always said he's unathletic. So, but no,
Danny, you agreed with me. He's not an extreme in the world of the NBA. Tatum is not like a freak athlete.
No. He's not a freak athlete.
Right. Thank you.
He's got like a 30-inch waist.
Yes. Thank you.
Well, you see, you can tell he made an effort to bulk up, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's two things. First of all, you know, we don't want him to bulk up too much because he is thin in his lower body and, you know, just get upper body heavy. But Jason has worked hard in the offseason, and he is definitely stronger, and his hands are stronger. Last year, I thought he lost a lot of balls going to the rim. He seems to, so far in September, he seems to have improved in that area much better. He just is playing with more confidence. I mean, he's always had confidence for a young kid, but now he doesn't look like a young kid anymore. He looks like a veteran player that really, you know, like get me the ball every bit as much as Kyrie or Gordon or Jalen or anybody. It's like just as much his team as anybody's. And you can see that in these first 2 days of practice.
Yeah, I just like that every time Rich brings that up and says what an idiot I am for saying
that.
Well,
you said he was unathletic, and then you just said, is he a super freak athlete?
Okay, Danny, in comparison to we've asked this to you a million times.
No, just answer it. Is he unathletic?
No, not unathletic.
You said
if he went to the Y. Is he, in the pantheon of NBA players currently, where would you put him in terms of the athleticism?
Well, so this is a conversation that, like, I've been involved in for 40 years in the NBA and defining athleticism. I mean, skill, vision, quick brain, height. Like, Larry Bird, to me, is a great athlete. Okay, he's not going to win the triathlon, but the guy is, like, unbelievable vision, left hand, right hand, ball handling, the quickest vision that I've ever played with. I mean, but he doesn't jump or run. Jalen isn't the highest jumper. He's not the quickest player, but he's one of the best shooters, ball handlers, shot creators.
No doubt.
Great vision and a great athletic brain.
I don't deny any of that.
And it's because he heard you say that, Fred, that's why he's getting jacked.
Spurred him on.
He's the kid who was drinking milk in the commercial.
Can we drop the whole thing with Danny now? He's answered it 15 times. All right. Well, Danny Ainge, it's always a pleasure, sir. Thank you for your candor.
One last question. This is something that at the end of the season we somewhat addressed, and now there seems to be more heat than ever that you are indeed the man behind at Isjanos NBA, the very strange gentleman who tweets nothing but Celtics things in broken English. Is there any truth to the fact that you are behind that mystery account?
I can't. I'm not going to answer that question.
All right, that's a yes.
So we've confirmed it. You're indeed.
Is the earth flat?
Well, according to Kyrie Irving, it
depends on who you talk to.
I mean, I haven't seen any evidence to the contrary, except for fake space photos. So what do I know? All right. Well, Danny Ainge, thank you very much. We look forward to talking to you throughout the season. Here's to a great week of practice. Thank you so much, sir.
All right, guys.
All right.
Really
see you,
appreciate
man.
It. Let's break now. When we come back, we'll have those Patriots tickets for you.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
985, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. The stack is brought to you by Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare.
All right, let's start off with something fairly terrifying. So some 55 miles off the coast of Massachusetts last weekend, did you hear about this guy who went crazy on a fishing boat out at sea? The Coast Guard ended up getting a call from them saying that one of the hands on the boat had gone insane and started stabbing people and hitting people with a hammer.
Oh,
well, they ended up capturing this guy, and he was in court yesterday, and they played the audio of the mayday of what was happening on the ship. Here's the audio.
Mayday, mayday, mayday.
Vessel distress, contact to southeast
on 1016.
What is your position in
nature
of distress?
Anybody hear me? We have a man gone crazy here on the boat, man. My position is 40 decimal 24 north, 069.27 West. Can anybody hear me?
Roger, Captain. How many persons are on board your vessel?
Roger, we have one man. I can't look. I don't know if he's dead or what, but one of the crew members went crazy, and he started hitting people in the head with a hammer. I got three men that's injured right now. One, I can't wake him up. I don't know if he's dead or not, but I got the man that's on top on the... He's on the rigging. Right now, he's on the rigging. He's already cut the antennas or something off.
So a federal affidavit described what happened on board. It said a crew member identified as R.H. heard yelling from the deck and ran around the corner. And when he did so, he received three strikes to the back of his head. It said R.H. fell on the deck. He saw that he was covered in blood. He looked up and saw the guy, Vasquez, with a hammer in one hand and a knife in the other hand. Vasquez looked at R.H. and said, "Just stay there." Then the records show that R.H. spotted another crew member identified as J.S. lying a few feet away with blood coming out of his mouth. Meanwhile, this big nightmarish eruption of violence continues. Said, quote, RH heard other crew members down below in the ice hold. One crew member, Jay-Z, that's his name, emerged from the hold. RH saw Vasquez hit Jay-Z with a hammer.
Where was Beyonce during all this?
That is a Rick Riley joke, according to the captain of the vessel, Vasquez.
Was he beefing with Nas?
He was not. Vasquez climbed up the mast as other crew members tried to capture Vasquez, holding a hammer and a knife as he did so. Vasquez then threw the knife onto the deck, and that is when you got the call that you just heard there made while he was up on the mast. A cruise ship doctor showed up. They pronounced that guy dead soon afterwards. He had a visible wound to the head and stab wounds to the torso.
That doesn't go down if I'm on that boat.
In Mark Wahlberg fashion, you would say that?
That's
Maybe that is the case.
I grab that hammer, and then I'm just like, get out of here. I throw it overboard.
just get the heck out of my face.
I make him walk the plank.
Well, everyone's favorite horrible umpire, Joe West, who is a fame whore. We know that by the country music albums that he came out with very creepy lyrics. Well, he took issue with camera placement at Chase Field because, of course, he did. So a Fox Sports Arizona analyst was watching this. So I guess the rule is when you have cameras on the side of the field, they can't hang over the fence there. They're not supposed to be in the field of play. So if you saw what was going on, the cameras might have been an inch or two hanging over the edge.
At most.
Almost, yeah. At most. An inch or two. And there goes Country Joe West out there to go regulate during the game. And here's what the play-by-play guys for Fox Sports Arizona said.
Their crew chief is the cowboy, Joe West, who's having, I hope, some fun with the camera crews here. Joe does not like the lenses to extend over the fence there, and he's giving the camera people a very hard time as they try to bring you this baseball game.
Yeah, it's amazing. He can see a camera leaning an inch over the railing, but he misses strikes by 6 feet.
That is Country Joe West wanting to get his good side.
That's right.
Can you get this here man boob?
he wasn't,
I want my right, not my left.
That wasn't Country Joe West the other day who was waiting at home on the walk-off home run, waiting for him to cross the plate. He basically stood on home plate while the whole team was waiting to high-five and jump around.
Was that Joe West?
That was not Joe West.
That
was some other guy that they're investigating, and I have no idea what he was doing. There was an umpire. It wasn't Joe West. Yeah, but there was, because he wasn't 400 pounds. But he was standing on home, and it was one of the more bizarre things you'll ever see. Like, there's no reason he was doing it. He was just standing there like an idiot.
Just to be on TV. He wanted to be the star of that moment. It was the umpire show.
Yeah, but that's, like, you're going to lose your job. Like, you're not, like, allowed to just stand on home during a home run.
He's like, all right, my work is done. And then walked away.
Yeah, right.
Let's hit the showers. Well, that's, you know.
How old are you, son? I'm 14.
All right. Well, that's a Country Joe West song that you probably don't want to hear the rest of.
Get in the truck.
Do you like lollipops? So you guys remember, like, in the 2000s and even the early 2010s, Sports by Brooks was a big thing. It was a website and a Twitter account that broke a ton of sports news. It was kind of like, you know, when Deadspin was breaking news, Sports by Brooks was kind of in there as well. You guys, did you used to follow that account, John?
I used to.
A lot of stories were broken on there, and all of a sudden, in November of 2013, he disappeared and just went away, and nobody knew where this guy went. So, as a matter of fact, there was a article that was written, and it was never published, by Jeff Perlman, who wrote it for, I believe it was, Bleacher Report. And he said, quote, I wrote the story. I literally have on my computer a 10,000-word Sports by Brooks story that I busted my butt on hardcore. He said, I wrote it for Bleacher Report. And one of the editors said, I just don't feel comfortable with this because it feels like a mental health illness. He said, I did not find him. And as in, we did not have a face-to-face encounter. I found out basically what had become of him. And I'll just say that I think my editor is correct and that it was the right thing to do. I'll just say that sometimes people go away for a reason, not just because they fade out of prominence. And yesterday, for the first time in 5 years, Sports by Brooks put out a tweet. And it says, from one of my favorite movies, love this scene. And it's a scene from Willy Wonka in the chocolate factory when Wonka resurfaces after going into hiding. So that is a strange situation because nobody knew. They just like disappeared off the planet.
Whose favorite movie is Willy Wonka? It's just creepy.
Willy Wonka's a great movie. Great movie. There aren't many movies.
Not
that,
the new one, the old one.
Oh, the Johnny Depp one is a
just
sin.
Just making like sure we're on the same page here.
That was horrible. Yep. Absolutely. Sometimes you own a role so much that it should never be remade. Magnum P.I., for example. Did anybody watch that? Did anybody see the remake? Thank God.
I get asked a lot. Did not watch it.
Because you watch crappy remakes.
Not true. Hawaii 5-0 is a gem.
Have you guys heard about the dude on Reddit? He's a lawyer from Los Angeles, and he won't give up his who he is. But he's got like a bunch of friends that are executives at NBA teams, and he's broken all these NBA stories.
Oh, I thought that was the guy that ended up getting busted for lying.
No. This guy is a Reddit guy, okay. And he's a lawyer, and because Deadspin did an article about him, and he called, I can't recall off the top of my head, you can Google it, like Reddit NBA predictions, and he like called all this stuff before it came out in mainstream press, he even beat the Woj. So he's got that going for him. And by the way, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory is not a good movie.
It's an excellent
movie.
It's a classic.
It is a very good movie.
So you sit down and you enjoy it.
Without a doubt, Gene Wilder in that movie is unbelievable. Mm. Unbelievable. I don't think there's... Like, when you like match like a character with an actor, I can think of not many more that you could say, well, no one should ever do that character again. I could say Jack Nicholson in The Shining. Sometimes you own something so well that nobody else should even try it. That was Willy Wonka. There's no one else that can do what Gene Wilder did. Gene Wilder was hysterical in that movie. It's perfect. And it was kind of like scary and like evil too, which kind of made it the perfect kids movie. The best ones I liked when I was a kid were the ones that were kind of freaky. Like, you know, the Dark Crystal and the Neverending Story and Labyrinth and stuff like that.
Labyrinth.
Did you
Neverending Story.
Labyrinth. The Bog of Eternal Stench. Did you ever see the, what was the one movie, Young Sherlock Holmes? Did you see that one? That's
no,
a nightmare.
I didn't see it.
Young Sherlock Holmes is like supposed to be a kid's movie. I think Spielberg might have made it. But like the bad guy in it was shooting like darts into people's necks where they would hallucinate. And like there was one, it's like almost like Poltergeist, where there's one scene where the fat kid gets attacked by all the food he's trying to eat, and it like tries to murder him.
Yeah, oh. Take that, fat kid.
And a guy, and like a priest gets impaled by the window that's got the stained glass window, and a guy like impales him. Dude, that movie's terrifying. It's supposed to be a kid's movie.
Andy, Bird put so much effort behind what you're going to say. Go ahead, Andy.
Oh yeah, I only waited for like an hour and a half.
Thank you, Andy. We appreciate
that. But hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
I just wanted to ask you guys two questions. Very important. Me and my boys are thinking about it a lot. What happened to Kotze in the opening? That's why they call me Kotze.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened to Brandon Merriweather this year?
Okay, so I'll answer the second one first. So Brandon Merriweather, we reached out to him. And he said he's got some things that he's doing on it. He's got a couple of personal things he's doing. I don't mean like the problems, but he's really busy with his restaurant stuff. That doesn't mean he's not going to be coming on at any point this season.
He wanted to do it.
He wants to do it, but...
But then he couldn't do it. And I can answer the Kotze thing is that we had a request from a relative to not put him on the show. And so we're going to honor that.
Yeah. So Brandon Merriweather isn't 100% out this season. It's just that he wants some time to finish up some stuff that's going on in his life first.
So never say we have black hearts, because when we got the request not to have Kotze on anymore, we took that request. It was a very nice request, and we said no. It was not threatening in any way. They did not say we had done anything wrong, as he just called into the show. It's not like we found the guy.
Fred, they're turning on you. He said, I'll let your John Candy rant go from yesterday, but Willy Wonka?
I like how I can't dislike anything.
You can't. You're not allowed to when you're that wrong.
I mean, I've seen every Boy Meets World. Doesn't that buy me some cred with the kids?
So he said, Rich, Willy Wonka is 2 hours of childhood trauma. Yeah, in a way. I mean, you never explain what happens to those kids. They kind of got murdered.
I like when he sings the song about the bubbles and they float in the air.
He doesn't sing a song about bubbles.
Doesn't he? When they're this is a magical time.
No, that's the fizzy lifting drinks, which they were not. And they almost got mangled up in the fan.
Charlie Bucket almost got mangled in the fan. He floated to the ceiling. Illegally drank some of the fizzy lifting drinks.
Now, granted, Fred, the first 20 minutes of that movie is horribly depressing with the grandfather who never gets out of the bed. Like, that was disgusting.
That's right. They have eight elderly people sleeping in one room.
Right. Not good.
No. Did you ever see the office where they had the golden ticket and they ended up putting it in all the paper? Did you ever see that one?
No, I didn't see that one.
Yeah, Michael has this idea for a golden ticket and then they end up putting it in every package of paper.
They screw up and everyone wins.
Yes. All right. We'll be back. We'll find out what Zolak, who was on the coasters of the restaurant I was at last night. I was dining at a French restaurant. And we'll find out what Zolak and Bertrand have on the way.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich.
Ow. Ow. Is that a comic book?
Ow!
Hey, Scotty Z, baby.
What's up?
What's that magazine there?
What's up?
That just cracked?
Came in the mail. See, this is what happens when you live out in the suburbs like I do. You don't get these cool magazines. Like, this came to Bertrand's house, I think. It's called Cthulhu's. It's got, like, wood stoves, wagons.
Oh, that sounds like
air mattresses. It's like Sky Mall.
Well, Sky Mall's fantastic.
Yeah, ooh.
I always like a wagon.
Look, like little ride-on toys for your kids.
So, Scott, trucks. I'm at a restaurant yesterday.
I'm going to read this whole show.
Good.
Look, a six hot dog presser.
That sounds like a good thing.
Yeah.
Or you just grill it.
Saves you all the time of eating
up
the stove.
Hey, let's invite five friends over and make six hot dogs.
All right, so here I am. I'm enjoying dinner last night, and I look down, and the coaster is a picture of Mr. Scott Zolak holding the 98.5 The Sports Hub mic.
Yep.
And a Coors Light, and it says... If I get the Coors Light app, guess what I'm getting?
What are you getting?
A chance at a video chat with yours truly.
Which I'll do right over there in that room over there, and I'm going to do my first one tomorrow at 9 o'clock. 9:30,
really?
9:30, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Now, what will you chat about?
We're going to chat about anything. Like, see, we're not going to do it like Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz do that Facebook thing, and it's kind of like extension of their show where it's just all half hour of additional sports takes.
Mm-hmm. Now, why do they do
Talk
that?
Talk anything, man.
Were they asked to do that?
It's under contract.
Oh. So they have to do an extra half hour of the show after
Correct.
The show?
Not every day, though, right?
Twice a week.
Okay.
And so what about Maz? He's got baseball reporters.
Well, Maz joins in after baseball's over, which is in like a week. So it was funny the other day. So it was Murray. Maz came in during one of the breaks and Felger. And they're all like looking over Felger's shoulder. And he's like holding the iPad. And Bertrand screenshot it. And he goes, hurry up, go. Give me the quote on this. And I go, three dudes looking up the whitest names in the world online. It's just like, what can these guys be looking up online?
I didn't know they did that. You know what? You're expanding the show into
First time they
media.
Did it, they put it out there, and I had a Facebook Messenger thing, queued it, and I got up there, and I flooded it with it. And
I heard it was all about Fred's cat.
It was about Fred's cat, and Felger's looking, Scott David Zoe, is that Zoe? And I'm like, yeah, why, is Fred's cat dead? No, and then you see Jimmy turn. Jimmy's bent over in the background. He's working the baseball reporters, and he gives me the cut sign to the neck live on Facebook.
Cut it out.
Already seen it. It's something, oh boy. Great camera work, by the way. It's like they...
Oh,
there we go.
Hey, real quick.
Yeah.
I'm going to be at the T-Mobile store.
You're with J.D. Martinez.
J.D. Martinez. I will be with him an hour from now at 11 o'clock from 11 to 1. At the T-Mobile store at the Cambridge Side Galleria, he's signing autographs. They're giving away stuff, too, so it should be somewhat nuts. I would leave now.
I'm going to be with S.A. Martinez from 311.
Chill!
At the Marshfield Fair.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Fred, I got a new band with him. It's just called Chill.